just 2 points is all, and so we might get done early, and that'll be all right too. Turn with me in your Bible to 2 John chapter 1. We're just going to look at one verse of scripture together. 2 John chapter 1. Look at verse number 8. Let's stand together for a moment. 2 John chapter 1, verse number 8. The Bible says, "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." I'll read that again together. "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." Thank you. You can have a seat. Preach on the subject just for a few minutes this evening on don't lose it. And I don't know about you, but I hate losing something. You ever lost your keys or your phone or something that you need? I shot a deer a few weeks ago and I lost my hunting license and my tags, and I was mad and frustrated. And it seems like when you lose it, it ain't no big deal if you know it's lost and you don't need it right then, but if you need it and it's lost, it'll bring life to a screeching halt. I just hate losing stuff, but I'm sure we all do, but some people lose money in the stock market, or we drop things and can't find them. We have several statements or phrases in the English language that you'll pick right up on and be familiar with concerning losing something. You can lose your temper. You ever done that? I'm sure none of y'all ever had that happen. You can lose your mind. You can lose your head. You can lose your shirt. You can lose your lead. Or your lead. Your lead. I was reading, Miss Banks called on me to read out loud in the seventh grade in science, and I was so nervous. I hated doing anything in public, and boy, I was concentrating on every letter, and I was reading so carefully that I wouldn't mess up, and I said, it was the word I-R-O-N. I said, "And the iron," and I just, boy, they started laughing, sort of like being 40. And saying the lead when it reads the lead. But so you can lose your place. You can lose the use of your limbs. That's tragic. Yeah, you can lose your eyesight. I'm very familiar with that tonight. I left my glasses at home. Your hearing. Here's one more recent. You lose your taste and your smell. Am I familiar with that? Yeah. Heard the phrase, they lost it, meaning their lack of self-control. They just lost it and went off. Ever had that happen? If you married, probably experienced that. You can lose weight. Somebody said amen. Lose sleep, lose patience, lose faith, heart, lose face, lose touch, lose out, lose time, lose count, lose the battle. That's just some of many others, and we'll stop her there. But my point is, there's a lot that we can be familiar with when it comes to losing something. And I want to preach tonight on the subject, don't lose it. All those things that, as Christian people, we should not be okay with losing. And I'll say more about that in a minute, but thank the Lord that some things we can't lose, and that's great and glorious, but there are some that we can. And the Bible has a lot to say about losing things. These parables, you remember Luke chapter 15, there's three things that were lost. The sheep, the silver, and the son were lost in that one parable. But look again at the text verse. It says, "Look to yourselves," and say, along with the Bible this evening, don't be so interested in what somebody else may have lost. are losing, in the process of losing. But the Bible says, look to yourselves. It may be good to take inventory personally and see that we lose not those things which we've wrought, those things that we've worked for, those things that we have already accomplished and gained. We need to look to ourselves so we don't lose it, but that we receive a full reward. And just a little breakdown of the verse, look to yourselves, that speaks of the diligence, and it does take diligence to look to yourself and take personal toll. Then the danger says that we lose not those things, and then the delight that we receive a full reward. And so before we look at what we can lose and some of the things that we can lose that we don't want to, let me mention a few that we can't lose. And number one, ain't you glad you cannot lose your salvation? I had a conversation with somebody today, surprised me, but they thought you could lose your salvation. And boy, I'm glad I don't believe that. I'm glad the Word of God teaches clearly that if you've ever been truly saved, truly born again, that's something that is once and done. And I know they make fun of Baptists for believing that, and they say that's a Baptist doctrine. Well, it is a Baptist doctrine because it's a Bible doctrine. Amen. Amen. And say that some say, well, that's just too good to be true. Well, it is very good, but it is true. And the Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 39, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which hath he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Boy, ain't you glad Jesus ain't going to lose you along the journey? I mean, boy, we lose stuff a lot, but Jesus said, I have never lost one. There won't be one plucked from my hand. I won't forget one's name. All that you've given me, I will keep and will present at that day. But Gospel of John goes on to say in chapter 19, verse 28, and I give unto them, don't just say life or a long life, but I give unto them eternal life. Amen. Eternal life. God cannot lie. God said three times in His Word that He's God and He will not and cannot lie. And if He gave you eternal life, to cut that short would be a lie. Anything less than eternal is not eternal. And He gave you, when you got saved, He gave you everlasting and eternal life. He said, I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And I heard a man say one time, I quoted that verse to him, he said, well, you can jump out of God's hand. He said, no man can pull you out, but you can jump out of God's hand. And I went over to, I think it's Psalm chapter 40, or the 40th Psalm, and quoted that verse where it's talking about the greatness of God and how grand and how He sits and looks at how small we are, and how He looks at the stars and the planets, and He measures them with a span. From there to there, a span. That's the universes. That's all the worlds and moons and stars and galaxies. So when you find somebody can jump that, then come back and talk to me. You ain't jumping out of God's hand. No, friend. If you've ever been saved, you are sealed to the day of redemption. Amen. Amen. I believe that with everything in me. I would lose my mind. Speaking of losing, I'd lose my mind if I thought I could lose my salvation. I mean, how would you know? Think about it. I mean, I believe that heaven is real. Thank the Lord. I believe that with all my heart. I believe hell is real, though I'm not going no more, but I believe it. I mean, just as much as I believe there's a heaven, I believe there's a hell. And if I thought for a split second that something I did, or it was up to me to live up to a certain level, that I had to keep my spirituality and my righteousness above the certain line, I'd go crazy. I mean, I'd stay in an altar nonstop. I'd be constantly praying, oh, God, save me. Oh, God, save me. Wouldn't you? If you thought you could your heart could stop beating the next moment and you could die and end up in hell forever? Think about that. But no, God fixed it to where when He saved us, Brother Ned, He said, all you got to do is believe. Amen. Believe on me and you shall be saved. And when He saved us, He listen, I'm not going to heaven because I've done something good. No way. Matter of fact, I ain't going to heaven because I did something bad. No, I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus done, period. And so there's nothing I can do after being saved to change that, and neither can you. Now, I know there's a lot of people who don't believe that, but I tell you, I got a lot of family who don't believe that. I've been trying to talk my mama into eternal security for a long time. No, I'm just... But I do got a lot of family that they don't believe that. I told them, I think a lot of them saved people. Really, saved people. And I said, y'all probably make it to heaven, but you just don't know it. You probably end up there, but you just don't know it. And that's true. But what a sad state of reality to wander through life not knowing where you're going to spend not a month or a year or even a lifetime, but forever. No, God fixed it where we could trust Him and know that forever it's settled, we'll be saved. Not only our salvation is something we cannot lose, but our standing with God is something we cannot lose. Boy, thank God for that. That's also found in Christ. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He's talking about our standing with God. Boy, ain't you glad? I mean, right now, we're already seated together in heavenly places. Right now. Positionally speaking, I know you say, well, how can that be true? I'm sitting right here at Morningstar Baptist Church. Positionally speaking, in the mind and heart of God, you're already seated in heavenly places. How is that so? The same way that you can know that you're saved. The same way that you can trust and know that your soul is forever safe with the Lord. Because it ain't nothing you done, it ain't nothing I done, but it's all twice in those two verses. In Christ, through Christ. That's how we have our standing. And nothing's going to change that. The devil can't change that. You can't change that. I can't change that. The world can't change that. God set it up and it's settled. So our standing with God is something we cannot lose. Our salvation with God. Here's another, the Spirit of God, something you cannot lose. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Listen, that there ain't no question about that. That's not up for debate. You cannot lose the Spirit of God. Once He has come to dwell in you and He takes up residence in your heart, in your soul, He's there to stay. And boy, that's a treasure to know. You can never lose the indwelling of the Spirit of God. Listen to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Listen, I know some may be thinking, and I want to make this clear. You can grieve the Spirit. You can quench the Spirit. You can lose your feeling of the Spirit. You can fail to walk in the Spirit. And you can even refuse to be comforted by the Spirit of God. But you cannot lose the indwelling of the Spirit of God. He took up residence when you got saved, when I got saved, and He's there to seal the deal, to make sure that you make it to heaven. And you will. If you're saved, there's no possible way you can lose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, listen. In the Old Testament, God chose a tabernacle for His people. In the New Testament, God chose a people for His tabernacle. And listen to this verse, two verses, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirits, which are God's. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. Another verse, Romans 8:23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, that means you've never been saved. Simple. That's just the reality. If you've been saved, you have the Holy Spirit indwelling, and nothing will ever change that. Nothing. Romans chapter 8, I'll encourage you to go read these verses. Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 16 speaks more in depth about the Spirit of God and how that He dwells in us once and forever. Matter of fact, let me read it. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. See, I just made that statement. If you don't have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, then you're not saved. Is that not exactly what we just read? It's plain and simple. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's not what I said. That's what God said. Verse 10 says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But if the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you are never led by the Spirit of God, if the Holy Spirit never bears witness in your soul, if the Holy Spirit never guides you into truth, I would wonder why. Because every saved person that I know, including first and foremost, personally myself, I know to be a fact, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God will let you know you're saved. He'll bear witness. He'll say, amen, that's right. And foul ball, that's out of bounds. That's not right. That's not truth. And he won't bear witness with that. And he will guide you, and he'll lead you, and he'll convict you, and so on. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. Amen. So that's some things that we cannot lose. Now for a moment, let's look at a few things that we can lose. And this is really the whole of the message, really. Don't lose it. I hope we understand. I mean, as good as God's been to us and all the things we just went through of things that we cannot lose, I fear sometimes we look at all of Christianity and all of being saved and all of this journey from now till we get to heaven as being, it's free, don't cost us anything, there's nothing, we can't lose nothing. Well, that's just not true. There are things that we can lose, and the verse we read, 2 John 1:8, says, look to yourselves, that we lose not the things that which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Listen, I think it's going to be a tragedy for many, many of the children of God, people in this church, to get to heaven and realize all that we thought we'd worked for, all that we thought we'd done for the Lord, that we've lost it. You say, can that happen? It absolutely can happen. We will face a judgment. The Bema Seat of Christ will stand before God Almighty, a thrice holy God, and the fire of His judgment will stand there and judge us. And anything that was not done pure and holy and right will be burned up as wood, hay, and stubble, and we will not receive a reward for it. And so, first thing we need to consider that we don't need to lose is our rewards. Listen, and I've heard people with a fake humility make this statement. Well, I don't want no rewards. I just want to get to heaven, and that'll be good with me. I don't need nothing. I just want to get to heaven. Okay, well, that sounds good. But have you ever thought about rewards are part of our worship? What are you going to worship Jesus with? If you don't have no crowns to lay at his feet, if you hadn't accumulated anything but just making it to heaven so as by fire, in other words, just by the skin of your chinny chin chin is all you got to get to heaven. What a terrible thing to stand before God who gave his all for you and for me and will have the marks in his body to prove that to us, and we will see that in him. And we have nothing. Oh yeah, that we need to look to ourselves to make sure that we don't lose the things which we've wrought. To make sure our rewards make it there, that it will stand the judgment fire, that it will come forth as gold tried by the furnace. Amen. Listen to 1 Corinthians 3:11. The Bible says, For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is in Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Basically, everything I just said wasn't my opinion. It's just right out of the Bible. Right there in black and white. Go home and read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. So it's clear, very clear, that we can lose our reward. And again, I want to emphasize, listen, we're not going to debate about it. I'm just going to tell you from a place of authority with God's word backing me, you do not want to get to heaven empty-handed. You don't. No more than you want to go work this week 40 hours and get to the end of the week and they say, oh, we lost your check. Sorry. No, you don't want to do that. Go slave and sweat and work all week and then have somebody say, no big deal, we lost it. Oh, I guess you're just going to go on like, no big deal. Yeah, right. No, we ain't going to do that. We're going to demand their money. Yeah. We ought to look at our rewards the same way. It's what's going to be with us forever. It ain't one paycheck that'll be spent. It's forever. This we ought to put more attention and pay close attention to and look to ourselves and make sure we're not losing it, because it's all you're going to have forever. These rewards, these crowns, are way more important than anything that we can do in a lifetime of work and accumulate down here. But we will work our fingers to the bones and we will go grind it out week in and week out for earthly treasure and earthly rewards. I'm just simply saying tonight, in a loving way, because I love him, because the Lord loves us, he reminded us that we look to ourselves and remind ourselves. There's some things that we should pay close attention to and not lose, and our rewards being one. I'll hit this one quickly, but you know, you've heard that old saying, boy, they've just lost their song. They don't have a song anymore. You know, there's certain birds that's true. That they will sing and they will, but they can get so depressed and so emotionally distraught that they will quit singing. Birds do that. Do you know you can lose your song? Listen to these verses. Psalm 37, 1 through 4. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of those songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? They had lost their song. They hang their harps in the willows. And boy, I've met many Christian people, and I myself, along the journey, I've lost my song. No joy. You think about a Christian having a song. You think about somebody that's full of God and they got the joy of the Lord. And we know the joy of the Lord is their strength. And a Christian that has lost their song has lost their joy and their strength. And boy, we need to pay attention. When you start losing, I've preached on this, but when we start losing our joy, that's a dangerous place to be. When you start losing your song, the devil knows. He knows he ain't hearing from you. He ain't hearing you pray no more. He ain't hearing you wake up in the morning, commune with God, and have a song on your lips of praise to our God. And the devil takes note of that. And he says, hadn't heard anything. They're awful quiet. And so he knows to come prowling around and snooping around. That's right. And so we can lose our song. We can lose our joy. I'll just read this verse and move on. But Psalm 51:12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Again, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I don't think enough emphasis is put on joy in our day and hour. And joy, I'm not going to preach on this tonight. I have before, but joy and happiness are not the same thing. Happiness is dictated by circumstance. If something happens good, then I'm happy. If something happens bad, then I'm not. That ain't joy. Joy can be steadfast through the storm. I mean, through hard times, you can have joy. When the sky's falling, you can have joy. Because joy ain't based on circumstance. Joy is based on Jesus and our relationship with Him and knowing, no matter what, He's in control. He's still on the throne, and you can have joy. And don't let the devil steal your joy. Don't lose your joy. Because when you're losing joy, you're losing strength. Amen. And when you're losing strength, you're losing ground. Amen. Again, I'm not going to deal with this in detail, but I could preach a whole message or series of messages on this one. And every young person in here needs to hear me and wake up and listen to what I'm about to say. I know this one, sadly, way too well. I didn't have to read it in a book, but personally, I know this one. You can lose your testimony. You can lose your testimony, and that ain't just to young people. That's to every one of us in here. What took you years and years to build, you can lose in a moment. Look to yourselves. Make sure you don't lose that you've wrought, all that you've worked for. Next time the devil comes tempting and alluring you and saying, look how pleasant. Remember Brother Holbrook's preached on opening doors and how David, he never dreamed. He never dreamed when he walked toward that door, and the Lord said, don't you open that door. He said, it's just a door, Lord. I mean, it's just a door. And he never dreamed. He never dreamed that by just simply opening the door, it would open worlds that he'd never get back from. And I'm saying to you, hey, listen, you young people, please hear me. Please hear me. There's certain things in life that if you open, you can never unopen. If you taste it, you can never untaste it. If you see it, you can never unsee it. If you touch it, you can never untouch it. Once it's in your mind, it's like a tattoo imprinted in you, and you cannot remove it. You say, but Jesus saves and Jesus forgives. Oh, He does. But you still live in this flesh, and you still have this brain and this mind, and it will not leave you. There's images and there's things and smells and places that you never, never want to see because it'll never leave you, and it'll haunt you till the day you die. So when your buddy comes up offering you a joint or a vape is what these vapes is what these kids are doing now. Oh, they all, hey, y'all do know that's odorless, pass drug tests with it, and our schools are full of them. And I ain't talking about cigarette vapes either. They take them and they take the cartridges out and put other things in. I know for a fact people in this church, young people in this church, know exactly what I'm talking about. Hey, with all this poison going around, this fentanyl, one toke and you'll be dead. I can't go into detail, but I have family who did one, more than one family member. One's dead, and the other one, two's dead, and another one that I know of in my family got a hold of some dope, and it messed up their life forever. Their mind gone from one time. Gone. You can lose your mind. You can lose your testimony. Listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, listen, I myself become a castaway. Lord help us not to lose our testimony. Amen. By the way, I'm not going to preach on this, but everybody listen, everybody right now, I just talked about drugs and young people. Everybody listen to me for just a second. Let me tell you the fastest, easiest way for every one of us to lose our testimony, it ain't at the club on Saturday night. It ain't down in Cracktown. Let me tell you where you can lose your testimony quicker and faster and easier than anywhere else. Even faster than the school. Listen, at your house, around your family, in front of your children, children in front of your parents, husbands to your wives, wives to your husbands. You can lose your testimony just like that and lose respect from the people you love the most. So don't think just because we got home and made it home safe that you can't lose your testimony. No, you can, because the devil is not bound by walls and barriers and shingles. No. I can't call the name, but if I did, you would know the preacher I'm talking about. You know him well. I'm going to say this and move on from this point. I'm about done. But a preacher that I have the utmost confidence and respect in, his son right now is strung out on dope. Bad. Won't even talk about Jesus or won't even think about coming to church. You know what he says? I grew up at the church, did he? I grew up around preachers and church members and deacons and Sunday school teachers and choir members and ushers. My whole life I was around them. That's all I was around. And I've met so few that were really who they said they were. I lost all confidence in the church because so many church people ain't who they say they are. It's absolutely important. Absolutely important that we keep our testimony, that we not be a hypocrite and have one face to this and another face to that, that we be real, be genuine, have some integrity and some godliness and be real. Amen. Almost done. You can lose your influence. And if you lose your testimony, you're going to lose your influence. Listen to this verse. Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but it is cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. This morning, I got ready a little bit early and I was sitting in the house waiting on the rest of them to get ready. And I seen Ralph Sexton on my phone. Actually, it was on TV, but it was on my phone. And so I cut it on and listened to him for about 5 minutes. And he just happened to be quoting these verses right here. And I said, well, let me listen to what he's got to say. I'm sure he's got something better to say than I do. But he made this analogy and statement about salt and how it's losing its savor and how salt and how it influences. And I thought it was so good. But salt, he said this, salt doesn't take on or transform into whatever you apply it to. It, in other words, salt don't lose its influence because you take a bag of popcorn and you pour salt on it. No, it enhances the popcorn flavor or the steak flavor or whatever you put it on. But you can take a bag of popcorn and pour it in a bowl of salt
And you can pick up that salt all you want, but it ain't going to taste like popcorn. It's going to taste like salt. Because salt, it don't lose its influence. And the Bible said what we just read, when it does lose its savor, then it's, you might as well throw it out because it's useless. It's good for nothing. Yeah. Be trodden under the foot of men. And so it is with a Christian, with me and with you. When we lose our influence, our testimony and influence and our saltiness and our savor, at that point, we are good for nothing in the kingdom of God. Because when we have no influence for God, we have influence against God. When we no longer can be a tool for God, we are a tool against Him in the hand of the devil. Amen. And so, don't lose your influence. Don't lose your testimony. You can lose, finally, you can lose instruction. And I hope we'll all take the message tonight and just simple, listen, this ain't no deep, this morning wasn't a deep message, it's shallow, but it's truth. And truth don't always have to be deep. Amen. Truth can be shallow and still be truth. This is not deep theology. It's simple, so simple, I fear we trip over its simplicity. But it's just some simple things tonight that we need to, I mean, like our rewards. How often do you think about, I need to look inward today, take inventory, and make sure I'm not losing the whole shooting match, what I'm working for, all that I've gained to this point. I don't want to lose that. And you can lose instruction. Proverbs 4:13 says this, take fast hold on instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. A man that can't be instructed is in a mess. I know this probably better than you do. I ain't much of a human being to be giving instruction to anybody. I know that. The only instruction that I have that's worth anything is coming right out of that Bible. It ain't because Michael Rochester said so. No, friend. No, it's because God said so, and I'm simply relaying the message. And there's some things that we cannot afford to lose. Amen. I had this, I'm done. It's 1 minute till 7. So y'all bear with me 1 minute, and you'll get out right at 7 o'clock. I had this conversation, met one of our church members this past week, and said to them, I'm concerned about you because I called a meeting with them and I told them, I said, you know, you got children and you're just up and down, in and out, because he asked the question, how come I don't use him more? And I said, I can't count on you. I can't find you half the time. And I know y'all just dying to know who it is. Well, I'm not going to tell you. If it was you, you wouldn't want me to broadcast it publicly. But I talked to men in love. I wasn't being mean. But I said, hey, more than what I care, God cares. And let's just put it down where you live. Your children see how unfaithful you are. It ought to concern us when our children see that we could take church or leave it. Amen. I don't back up from that. Hey, church is vitally important for me and it is for you, whether you believe that or not, whether you comprehend or understand that or not. I promise you, make little of church now and there'll come a day in your life when your children make less than little of it that you'll wish to God you'd have made way much more of church. Amen. Amen. I know church don't fix everything, but it sure makes about everything better. And it at least puts us in a position to where we can get help. Amen. And they listen, our children need to see that we're not losing our testimony. That what we say we believe it. And they'll put you to the test. I promise you that. Mine do me. If I say this is how it is, well, they're going to test that. And they're going to push me to the limits to make sure I still believe that. They're going to do that. And my credibility is lost if it gets a little bit hard for me to say no. When what I said a month ago, I believe, and if they can push me and raise their tone and argue just enough that they can push me off of what I said I believe, then guess what? I've lost my credibility. I've lost my testimony with them. And this is a whole nother message, but God have mercy. Have we ever seen a generation that needed to know what my mama taught me? That sometimes you just need to hear no to understand what no means.
Amen.
Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Amen. Let's stand. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Thank you for instruction, Lord. Thank you for your church.